everybody. John Burton here with you. And I thought we would have some fun today. And let's talk about the idea of the supernatural and supernatural encounter. In fact, I wrote an article titled "The Secret Sauce of Supernatural Encounter." The reason I did this is I get a lot of people all the time when I'm traveling and ministering, or when I'm writing articles, or people are emailing me, whatever, they're asking me all the time, what is the secret? How does this work? How in the world can you have these encounters with God? And in a related way, people are asking me all the time, how can I hear God's voice? Because I teach on that. I've written on that in my book, Revelation Driven Prayer. Certainly something you should check out if you haven't already. But I get this question all the time. How do I hear God? How do I have supernatural encounters? And, you know, simply people want to connect with God in a real, legitimate way. And I believe this is more important than we understand, because in the world doesn't want a set of rules, and they don't want some sort of a code of conduct. They don't want that. They want a legit encounter with God. If God is real, there is a segment of society that will do anything to connect with him. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I started thinking, you know, all these people are asking this question, and there's a lot of people that, of course, encounter God powerfully, but then there's a lot of skeptics, but there's also this group of people that they're hungry. They just want God. And so I thought I would come up with this kind of this secret sauce recipe. You know, what would it take to really have an encounter with God? And the answer is not as simple as you would think. Oftentimes people are presuming that they're just going to wait back. They're just kind of waiting for God to move. In fact, that's kind of the story of their life. They wait for God. They're waiting. They're gazing up into heaven, wondering when he's going to do something. And they're just waiting, hoping for the best, getting discouraged. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, is what the Bible says. And frustration just overtakes them, and they don't know what to do. And does God even love them? Does God even like them? Does God even know they exist? So all of these things are going through their heads, and they're losing faith, and then they just kind of, they don't want to go to hell, so they don't kind of abandon the faith, so they still do the good things, and they go to church, and they pay their tithes, and they say their prayers, or whatever, and so that's the story of their life. Their boring, frustrating life, and if they were to admit it, they would agree that it's a boring, frustrating way to live. There's a better way to live. There's a much better way to live, where it's not flaky. It's not that at all. It's very grounded, it's balanced, it's mature, it's deep, and where we are legitimately encountering God. And he's talking to us, and he's directing us, and he's giving us insight and revelation, and all of that's happening. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Now, you can go read the article. It's a long article, but I think it's pretty good. Go to burton.tv/articles, and you can search for it. Here's the title of it. It'll be right on top if you're looking today, but if you're watching this way down the line, it will not be on top. Today's January 23rd, 2020. The title of this is "The Secret Sauce of Supernatural Encounters." So search for that. You'll be able to follow right along with the video. I'm not going to go into as much detail here on the video that I did on the in the article. Just want to keep things moving at a brisk pace. Number one, this is the recipe for encounter, the secret sauce to having otherworldly supernatural encounters. I mean, the kind that just blow you up, where you're trembling and the fire of God is on you, and all of a sudden, you know, the revelation is just popping, and you're having dreams and visions, and the Holy Spirit is just moving on you just powerfully. And so this is the roadmap for you. Okay, so this is, if you pulled out Google Maps, how to encounter God, this is the map. This is how you get there. Number one, raw, risky belief, faith. All right, now listen, this sounds like a tired old sermon. You know, another sermon on faith. Listen. You would be shocked, or maybe you wouldn't, because maybe you're one of them, shocked at the number of people who cannot get beyond their brains. And they just don't, they just, They can't put two and two together. They can't connect the dots. And so if it doesn't make sense up here, they're not going after it. They're gonna hold back. They may reject it even. If they can't understand it up here, then they disconnect. They don't believe. And that is a recipe right there for a normal, average, natural life, well outside of the supernatural shock and awe that God has for you. Bible says that we cannot lean on our own understanding. It's very, very clear. Intellectualism may be the greatest killer of faith and supernatural encounter. Intellectualism. Now, a lot of left brain people out there where they analyze it and they try to figure it out and they try to determine how to do it. And they're trying to kind of, you know, add things up and does this make sense? And how do I do this? And what's my next step? And it doesn't work that way. You have to believe, you have to have faith, crazy faith that lives well outside of our human ability to analyze. Now, so the idea here is so many people say that they have to see it to believe it. Well, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's actually the flip side in the kingdom, where if you want to see it, you have to believe it. You have to believe it first, because there are, for all of you intellectuals out there, there are intellectual realities, truths that live beyond our ability to comprehend. The Bible even talks about that. He wants to do more than we can imagine, right? And it's not that it's untrue. It's not that it would defy clear, if you want to use the word, scientific data. It wouldn't. It's just beyond our ability to comprehend or to understand. So the way it works is we, you know, the way I do it, I just believe. That's it. I mean, I eliminate so much from my life. It's glorious. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way to live where I don't sit back and try to analyze everything. I see somebody else being rocked by God. I also want to be rocked by God. Other people are having dreams and visions. I also want to have dreams and visions, right? And that's it. I believe easily. I just do. And because that's the way I want to live my life. I just want to give God room to move, right? You understand? I am not proposing a renunciation of the pursuit of understanding. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying dismiss logic. I'm not saying dismiss scientific truths. Of course I'm not saying that. Well, all I'm saying is there are truths that you're a human. You're a finite human with serious weakness and serious limitations. You're mortal. Me too. And so we can't figure it all out. So I like to take the shortcut. It's like, all right, God, I can't figure it all out. I don't know how it works. You are way beyond me. And that guy right there needs a supernatural infusion of the fire of God. I don't know how that works. I don't know how releasing fire into someone and praying, just that activation of love. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it works. I don't know how faith works in terms of financial blessing, where we can trust God and he supplies our needs. I don't know how that works. Doesn't make sense. I don't know. I'm a believer in tithing. You might not be. I am. I don't know how it works that since I've tithed that financially everything has been okay in my life. I don't know how that works. I don't know how much of anything works, but I just believe. So regarding encounter, just believe. You know, we're going to get into the plumb line of the word of God at the end here, but just believe. Speaking of the word of God, when I read it in the Bible, I believe it, right? I see in Revelation, you know, John had this encounter with God. I want that. He had it. I want it. I believe it. I do. I read the Bible. I'm like, okay, God, I want that. That's what I want. He fell over his dead. I want that. Had this vision. Crazy, wild, intense. I want that. You did it for him. Do it for me. And so you just have to believe very easily. All right, let's move on to number two. And by the way, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Hey, let me throw a commercial in here real quick. The way that I try to communicate to everybody is, I guess it would be threefold. Number one, my articles. I write tons of articles, and I write for Charisma Magazine. I've been doing for many, many years doing that. And then was just welcomed on to the stream. And thanks to Dr. Michael Brown for helping make the connection there. And so they have started publishing my articles there. And also there's a South African magazine, Joy Magazine, and they are publishing my articles there. And so writing is a big part. Of course, I've written 10 books. But then also make sure you check out my podcast. Go to burton.tv and you can go to media and you can check out the podcast. You can subscribe to it in Spotify or iTunes, whatever you want, Pocket Casts, and you can get those podcasts. The way the podcasts work, they are off the cuff, without notes, just sharing my heart. And oftentimes I will write articles based on what the podcast is about, but they are just kind of casual, spontaneous type of podcast that actually is done in my car. Most of the time it's in my car as I'm headed to Starbucks for the day to work, which is where I do a lot of my work. And then the other way, it's not as common, it takes a little bit more effort, not too much, but are these videos. And so I don't do these nearly as much as I would like to. Actually, I would like to do it quite a bit more often. And God's blessed me with a studio to be able to do this. But I'm a crazy busy guy and I've got all sorts of stuff going on. So I'm not always able to get into my studio to do this. But those are the three ways. Primarily, I do travel just a little bit. I've pretty much taken myself off the road for the most part in terms of traveling and ministry. But I do still do a little bit of that. That may ramp up in the coming days, weeks, and months. I don't know. Praying on that, we'll see. All right, back to this. Number two, this is how to have an encounter, a powerful encounter with God. Number one was raw, risky belief. Number two, desperate hunger. Absolute desperation. Most of the people that I talk to that want an encounter with God, they're not really that hungry. And they'd like one, and they get frustrated. It's like, oh, God, would you just move in my life? Oh, God, why are you doing this for that guy? And I really want you to, you know, and it's just this low level frustration, almost pouting sometimes, you know, and we can all get in that mode. But this is a whole other level. This is hunger that'll just rock you. You know, and I go back to when I was a young man, I'd never really encountered God in my life. And I saw my friends. These are friends that would like play like Mario, you know, this is many, many years ago, like, wait, oh my. Many years ago, 30 years ago, almost something like that. And they'd play video games and they'd be out on the basketball court and just be normal people. Normal. That's the point. Normal. But then all of a sudden you get them in the prayer room and they're crying and they're on their face and they're rocking and they're experiencing God and there's this passion in them. And I'm like, those are legit people. This isn't fake. That's what I remember myself saying. This is not fake. And I got so hungry for that. Man, I was jealous. I was provoked. I wanted what they had. And so I didn't know how to give language to it. I didn't know what to do. I was not encountering God myself. I didn't understand. I didn't know. But again, I believed. And so one night I'm in the prayer room, or just the youth room at the church, all alone, Dayton, Ohio. I'm just walking around this room. Never forget it. Could see it like it was yesterday. Walking around this room, looking out the window, seeing the trees outside the window, just walking around. It was dead. I mean, in terms of, I didn't know what it meant to feel God. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I was just a guy walking around who was hungry. And I kept saying, God, you know my heart. That's all I knew to pray. I didn't know what else to pray. There were no tongues. There was no fire. There was no, you know, none of that. I'm just walking around clueless, absolutely clueless, not knowing how any of this happens. How in the world do you have an encounter with God? I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what it means. You know, I was signed up because I believed in God and I affirmed him in terms of, man, I just, you know, I believed and I embraced righteousness and I lived my life mostly righteously in terms of, as a young man, I never fell into a lot of the stuff that the other guys and gals were. And so I was living, I was, you know, quote unquote saved years before that. And I was living that life. Even went to Bible college for a year. But I never encounter God, so I didn't know what to do. And I'm walking around, God, you know my heart. God, you know my heart. You know my heart. I was so hungry, so hungry. In fact, I told him, I said, you know what? If you are not all that you're cracked up to be, if you're not a healer, deliverer, if you're not alive, if you're not powerful, omnipotent, I mean, if you're not mighty God, you know, just miracle worker, signs, wonders, if you are not that, I don't want anything to do with you. I am not going to spend my life playing games, wasting time. I've got one life to live. I'm not going to waste it on a fairy tale. But I told him, I said, you know what? If you are legit, if you are all you're cracked up to be, I will die for you. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't long after that where he absolutely invaded me. It's the only way I can say it. It was this invasion, supernatural God invading natural man. And in an instant, my hands were flying up and I was like, I was prophesying. I was trembling. I was electric. I was like, I was encountered by God. I'll never forget that ever. I was hungry. Desperation, hunger. So that's the second recipe for encounter. Let's carry on. Number three, passionate prayer. Now, an initial encounter may not require this lifestyle of prayer because you're really not there yet. But in order to live a life of regular encounter, it does require, absolutely does require serious, fervent, passionate, determined, disciplined intercession. It requires that. We must have the Holy Spirit burning through us, you know. And speaking of prayer, it's in that place where the baptism of the Holy Spirit really becomes critical. So now we can pray in the Spirit and we can, I mean, everything comes alive. You know, if you've never prayed in tongues, let me tell you what, this is a gift for everybody. Don't you ever believe someone who tells you that the gift of tongues is not for everybody. Understand, there are different manifestations of tongues. Some manifestations, some of those gifts are not for everybody, but the prayer language to pray, the groans that can't be uttered, not knowing what to pray in our weakness, so the Holy Spirit prays through us. That prayer, that upper room explosion of intercession, prayer, praying in tongues, baptism in power, that's for everybody. That's for you. You've got to get it. You know, how do you get that? Same recipe as all the rest of this. Hunger, determination, belief, you've got to go for it. So passionate prayer, definitely, you've got to live this lifestyle of prayer because it's in the place of prayer where God's going to be communicating and where you're going to have the revelation, and it's going to just come alive. And as you're praying and you're in the word's going to explode off the page, and you know that's where that's happening. And so you, without passionate prayer, give it up. Throw in the towel. It's over. You are not going to live a lifestyle of continual, regular encounter with God. All right. The next one. What number are we at? Number, let's see. This would be number one, number two, number three. This is number four. And let's see. We've got 5, 6 of these. All right. 1, 2, 7. I don't have them numbered. I'm just scrolling. My numbers are wrong. Doesn't matter. Next one. Next one. Deep humility. Deep humility. I'll never forget a young lady in Los Angeles, my youth group. I took my youth group to this big old Vineyard Worship conference, and we were staying at a hotel, and a ton of other youth groups were staying at this hotel. And we were out on the, just outside the room on the walkway there, and kind of overlooking the parking lot. And there was this young lady that was there, and me and a couple others, we just started talking to her. And she's like, yeah, I'm from such and such church. And I've been looking forward to this, and you know, I'm not really sure what to expect. And you know, I tell you what, I've heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and don't even know what that looks like. But I really would like that. I don't know how to get that, but I really would like that. And I said, you know what? Just keep contending and praying and believing, and I believe God's going to give you that gift because he wants to give that gift to everybody. Well, the next night we are in this phenomenal, I mean, oh my goodness, you know, hundreds, more than, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 maybe people there, probably even 3,000 or 4,000, huge crowd. And man, the anointing was intense. And the guy, I don't even remember who it was, he was preaching. And at the altar, I'm just enjoying myself. You ever have those times where you're not like shaking and God's not just breathing fire all over you? You're just enjoying yourself. And that was me that night. And this young lady was, you know, over kind of next to me. I was on the left side of the altar and she was kind of near me and her youth group. And so they were praying and the guys moving around praying for people. And I'm watching, I'm enjoying this. And my youth were getting prayed for. And it was cool. Well, he came over toward our section and this girl is just kind of on her back getting prayed for. And she's just laying there like this. And she had no idea what was going on. And this guy, the preacher, he just walks over near us, probably a good 10 yards, at least 20 yards away from where this girl was. And he looks at her. She doesn't know it. He looks at her and he just does this. He just waves his hand. And all of a sudden, right at that moment, she starts convulsing. Whoa! And she starts shaking on the ground. And she starts, just this tongue comes exploding. That was not your nice little, it was this, you know, this crazy wild thing that you knew it was God. You knew. And then she would settle down a little bit, but she was praying in tongues. And then the guy would come back. Again, she had no clue this was happening. He would just wave. And it would happen again, and she would convulse and just this outburst of tongues. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this is phenomenal. I'm like having the time of my life. And he does this like four or five times, you know, and this girl, it was the coolest thing ever because she had no idea it was happening. And in terms of him doing it, she just knew this wave after wave after wave of the glory of God just kept crashing over her. And, you know, so I'm sitting there just enjoying everything. And he comes one more time and he just does that. And she convulses again and I'm watching. And then he turns around, but then he turns around again. And he looks right at me and he goes, "Him too, Lord." And I'm like, whoa. And I hit the ground and I laid on my face with this tremble, just this. And it was like this 1,000-pound blanket of God's glory was just weighing on me. I could never describe this with human words ever. In a million years, could never do it. And I'm like, I'm out. I never wanted to leave that moment. I'm out. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm just out. I have no idea what's happening around me. None at all. And then time goes by. And all of a sudden, the lights go flickering. And I'm like, and some of you have heard about being drunk in the spirit. This was drunk to a whole other level. I was completely under the influence of God in a way I never had in my life at that point. And I look up and the lights are flickering. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And well, they're trying to get everybody out. I was one of the last ones there. And I was just, and my youth, it was hilarious. My youth is hovering over me, my youth group. I was a youth pastor. And this is in California. And they're like, "Pastor John, are you okay? Can you drive? You gonna be able to drive?" And I'm like, whoa. And they had to help me up. And I didn't know if I could drive. I had no idea. Got me out to the van. Kind of gathered myself and I did. I drove in the spirit and I'll never forget on the way back to the hotel between the convention center and the hotel, we stopped and at a gas station, went to this gas station and there were people stumbling all around inside the gas station. These were people who'd been at the conference and they were just dosed by the Holy Spirit, just under his glory. And the guy that was there working, he's just like, "What is going on?" And then we drove to the hotel and I'll never forget this. As I got out, I saw all over the parking lot, people carrying people helping people walk all over the parking lot. And I got up to my room. I had what did I have? I had four youth staying with me in my room. I was on a cot. I went to sleep on that cot. I've never in my life ever had a night of sleep like that. The anointing rested on me. It didn't lift. The next morning, one of the other leaders came up, one of my leaders came up to me and he said, what happened last night, John? I'm like, I don't know what you mean. He said, well, I mean, this morning there's all this talk going around how your room was way out of line and jumping and hitting walls and people couldn't sleep in the rooms beneath and next to. And what happened? I'm like, I never heard any of it. I never heard any of it at all. What's the point of this whole story? Deep humility. See, this young lady, in order to experience God like that, she had to be humble. She had to be, I don't care what people think. I don't care if I start convulsing. I don't care what I look like. I don't care if I pray in tongues. I don't care. Don't care. Don't care at all. Regarding caring, nope, I don't. I don't care. And we have to be at that place. And I personally believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit and encountering God requires, I think God sets it up for us to have to pray that way and to allow him to do stuff on in our lives like that in a way that is a bit humiliating. And he's, will we kill our flesh and let the Spirit of God move? All right, let's keep going. The next one, whatever number this is, unapologetic holiness. Remember, we're talking about the secret sauce of supernatural encounter. If you want to encounter God, I believe this is what it takes. This is a bit, there's other points, I'm sure, but this is definitely in the recipe. Unapologetic holiness. I'll keep this one simple. If you think a very Holy Spirit is going to brood over you and manifest in and through you as you are living an unholy life, you're deceived. It's not going to happen. If you are watching TV and movies and YouTube and media that has unholy elements, foul language, right? I mean, there's a movie that Amy and I wanted to go see and looked it up. We always go to imdb.com, go to the Parents Guide. It'll tell you how, you know, if there's cuss words or nudity or whatever, because you definitely can't trust the rating system. And it'll tell you. So a movie we really wanted to see looked great. People are saying Oscar nomination. And it said three cuss words. No F words. It made the point of saying no F words, three cuss words. And we made the determination that can't see it. Have to wait till it comes out on VidAngel or something like that, or just don't see it at all. And why? Because I cannot imagine compromising my ability to be able to hear God, to dream dreams, to have visions, to have encounters. I can't imagine that. And, you know, I remember way back, you want to talk about something that will trigger an encounter? That story that I just shared with you in the Vineyard Worship Conference and all that. There was a key moment when I first became youth pastor there. I was getting to know the kids, and we all decided to go to a particular, very popular PG-13 movie. And we sat in that movie, horrified, as there were sexual innuendos, foul language. We got out of that movie immediately, repented. It was awkward because I was the new youth pastor and they were the youth, and it was super awkward. But we gathered ourselves and we're like, listen, guys, that should not have happened. And they're like, that should not have happened. And we repented, all of us together. And we took those movie tickets and we actually ripped them up and we nailed them. We had a wall where we'd destroy CDs and t-shirts and things that were immoral. We'd nail it to the wall. We nailed those movie tickets to the wall. I believe that was a trigger for the culture of encounter that was developed there in San Diego. And so unapologetic holiness, you know, 2 Corinthians 6:14, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, if you just think about it this way, why would you want Holy Spirit encounters if your chosen lifestyle is one of immorality? Because the only thing you're inviting is either conviction or judgment. So if you're saying, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm willingly involved in immorality, I'm being entertained in media by the very things that required the brutal torture, mutilation, murder of Jesus, I'm being entertained by that stuff. And hey, Holy Spirit, I'd like to encounter you. Holy Spirit will say, okay, How about a little conviction? And hey, guess what? Judgment's on the table also. So I would be careful about what you ask for. And, you know, one of the things I encourage people to do regarding music, eliminate all secular music. Get it out. Out forever. Get it out. And I'm not going to get into a whole talk on this right now. Is there benign music? There is. For example, we own escape rooms and we have instrumental soundtracks playing over the top of our rooms. And so I mean, we can get into some silly type of discussions like that, or a movie score or whatever. But I'm talking about our regular diet, daily diet of music. Get rid of it. Get rid of the secular music. Teach yourself to not crave it at all. Get off of it. And fill your life with anointed, powerful worship music. Just let that be your life. Pump your ears. Get your headphones on. Pump your ears full of anointed worship music, prophetic music. I mean, let the Holy Spirit just burn in you and exalt Him throughout your day. Let that be the story of your life in terms of music. Even contemporary Christian music. Get rid of that. I'm not telling you that stuff's bad. That's not the point. I'm saying let's make room. Get rid of everything and make room for some crazy anointed stuff, and live on that edge of just anointing and presence of God all the time. And so that's my encouragement. All right, let's continue on. Next one. Willing martyrdom. Here's an interesting one. Willing martyrdom. There was a time in my life. Remember I told God, you remember this? I said, hey, if you're not all you're cracked up to be, I don't want anything to do with you. But if you are, I'll die for you. Remember I told him that? Well, he took me up on that. And I'm going to let you read the article for the sake of time. It's a long story, but it is probably one of the two or three most important stories of my life. God took me up on it. He wanted me to give Him permission to take my life. It was the most dramatic, profound, supernatural experience. I can't even begin to explain it to you. This happened before I was a youth pastor in San Diego. God was setting me up. I don't believe any of that in San Diego would have happened, or anything, much of anything after that would have happened. And I've lived this crazy supernatural life, and I'm excited for more. I don't think any of that would have happened if I would not have told God that night, in the middle of the night at a youth lock-in at a YMCA in the Dayton, Ohio area. I wouldn't have said, okay, God, I give you permission to take my life. Understand, I thought I was going to die that very night. I thought it was going to happen. And I said, I can't imagine living my life outside of your presence and outside of the glory of God. And I can't imagine that. So I would rather live the rest of this night experiencing you powerfully. And boy, did I. I'd rather live just one night and then sacrifice the rest of my days as a martyr than to live for another 50, 60, 70, however many years as just this kind of normal, religious, kind of Americanized, kind of Christian dude living in the natural. I just, even thinking about it makes me a bit nauseous. Willing martyrdom. Are you really laying down your life? If you're not truly ready to lay down your life, this is not really going to work out for you. Because I'm not talking, you know, encounters with God is not, it's not like eating cotton candy. It's not like just kind of a refreshment at the movie. We're talking about an encounter with deity, the most powerful force in the entire world, encountering Him. And do you have any idea the implications? Do you have any clue what I'm talking about here? I mean, it's easy to focus on all the happy and the glory, but you're also talking about His severity. You're talking about the terror of God, the fear of the Lord, the intensity, the surrender, the brokenness. You're talking about all of that. So don't kid yourself and think that we're just talking about just this emotional, whimsical, flighty high. It's not that. And so unless you're really willing to lay down your life and surrender all, like for real, you're not going to legitimately, regularly encounter God the way that He wants you to. All right, the next one. I've got to count these. One, two, three, four, five. That was, here comes number seven. This is the last one. Zeal for the word of God. Zeal for the word of God. Read this. There's a very powerful truth that I deal with in the article dealing with Bereans. You know, a lot of your heresy hunters and those that are opposed to what I'm talking about right now. And they think it's hyper charismatic fluff and anything that's mystical and kind of the invisible realm. They don't like that. And they call themselves Bereans. Well, I'm a Berean and I'm going to test with whether what you're talking about is real. I'm going to test it. And I don't know about all that gold dust and the oil manifesting. And we've had that stuff happen in our ministry. We didn't ask for it. It just came. You can't deny it when it comes. Well, I'm going to test that and make sure. See, the problem is they're mean-spirited people. They're not Bereans. They're actually Thessalonians. That's actually what they are. Not Bereans. See, the Thessalonians were the heresy hunters. In fact, they even followed Paul and Silas to Berea. They followed him. And they, because they wanted to cause trouble and they wanted to put a stop to what they were bringing, this revelation that they were bringing. But the Bereans were more noble, is what the Bible says, because they eagerly searched the scripture. They weren't mean-spirited. They were like, wow, encountering God, the glory. I mean, of course, I'm throwing my story into the mix here, but it's like, wow. All, you know, how exciting that is, you know, deliverance and freedom and life and the glory of the Lord and really in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she was really on the floor and all of a sudden, boom, all this stuff is happening. And wow, that's incredible. And encountering Jesus and wow, that's amazing. And wow, let me get into the word. And man, I sure hope there's nothing in there that would contradict this because this is powerful. Yeah, nothing. There's nothing. It doesn't contradict the word based on what we've discovered. And that's exciting. I'm so excited about that. That's what the Bereans were doing. The Thessalonians were the mean-spirited ones. They were the troublemakers. And so we have a lot of Thessalonians out there. But I'll let you read the article. Check that out. But what happens when you're encountering God and then you're reading the word, wow. I mean, you get excited. It's like you read something and it just pops and it pops and it explodes and it's life. And you're reading it. It's like, I want that. I want that. I want that. Oh yeah. Oh, that hits me. That strikes me. Oh God, help me with that. Oh wow. That, yeah. And then now the word becomes amazing. It's like, I'm living so far below the bar of what the word of God tells me I can experience in my life. And the word, reading the Bible is like, wow. And you can read one little verse or a half of a verse sometimes and just spend the next 8 hours just like, oh God, that wrecks me. Let that come to pass in my life. I want that so bad. Ah, you pray on it. You contend and you fight the enemy and you push him back. It's like, no way, you're not keeping me from this. It's in the Bible and I'm going after this. And so the word of God is critical if you are somebody that wants to experience God, to encounter him. So this, everybody, just as a bit of a guide, I just wanted to give you a guide to help you to maybe be a little bit of a catalyst in your journey to where you can truly live a life of encountering God in a very, very, very powerful way. You know, we don't want people to be immature in this or, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people out there that are playing with the mystical and playing with the supernatural. I'm talking about Christians and all of this stuff. You know, they're not buying into it. They don't really have much of a prayer life. You know, they're not really signing up as martyrs. The holiness thing, maybe not so much. Humility, not so much, you know, and you know, or there's compromise in one area or two or three or five or whatever, but they're still playing with the mystical and it can get dangerous if you do that. But I believe we can do this well. We can do this right. and we can have churches that are on fire. Can you imagine an entire church? I dream about this. Oh man, I dream about like planting my next church if that ever happens, or ministry or whatever. And I think about this and I'm like, wow, what if we had a church that was given to this, like all of this, and prayer just exploded throughout the place, and humility, and I mean, holiness was in the culture, and they were hungry, and they were all signing up to lay down their lives and to die daily and to take up the cross, and the word of God was exploding. And man, sign me up for that. But I want to encourage you personally, because you may not be able to find a church like that, and there's no reason to wait. You personally can go after this. So be encouraged. I want to thank you. Hey, I see this up here. Let me go ahead and pop this right on screen. If you do want to donate to the ministry, cool. If you don't want to, that's fine. But if this is something the Lord puts on your heart, go for it. Go to burton.tv/donate, and you can do that. That would be amazing. And then definitely check out our resources. I've written several books, powerful truths in these books that will really shake you up and launch you into some new revelation. And I believe you'll really be quite rocked when you read these books. Definitely check out, you know, my articles. I write all the time, burton.tv/articles. And that's all I got. So I love to hear from people. So leave comments, and I'm going to get this up on social media. And I would love to hear what you have to say, what you have to think. Tell me your stories. What has God revealed to you? Is there anything else in the recipe that I just completely forgot? Well, certainly there is something. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear that. If you are a Thessalonian, I'll pray for you. But if you're a true Berean, get in the word and get excited about what God wants to bring to your life and how deeply he wants to encounter you. All right, there you have it. Talk to you next time. Blessings to y'all.